Beth Massey, and I'm here with Mikhail Zlatkowski, program manager on the Cloud Business Apps team. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, so Cloud Business Apps team, it does a variety of tools inside of Visual Studio around Office and SharePoint development, correct?
Yep.
And Lightswitch.
Right? Yep, of course.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get to Microsoft?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I actually used to be an Office developer. I used to program initially in VBA and then in VFTO all through college and grad school. There was a business that my uncle and I had co-founded, and so I worked on that. And then so once I had graduated college, I knew exactly where I wanted to be, which was at Microsoft on the team that built this stuff. And so...
So you've been an Office programmer forever.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
And then so I applied directly to this team and initially worked on Lightswitch for about 6 months. And then since then I've been on the actual Office tooling, so both the apps for Office, okay, along with VFTO, and now this Platform 365.
Yeah, and that's what kind of we're going to talk about today.
Yep, the Office 365.
I'm pretty excited about just the Office programmability next generation.
Yep.
You know, and so I sort of have dabbled in VSTO myself, and I feel like business applications, it's really important to use Office as part of those solutions. So I've always had kind of like this passion,
yep,
for Office
programming
as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So, so tell us a little bit about this Office 365 API stuff.
So Office 365 has been out in the wild for some time now. And we've seen quite a bit of adoption by the enterprises to really start storing their stuff in the cloud. So you've got emails, you've got calendar, contacts, documents of all sorts being stored through SharePoint. And so there's all this data in the cloud. What we wanted to be able to enable with these Office 365 APIs is to let developers who are writing their normal web applications, native applications, to be able to tap into this resource and to be able to do stuff with Office data.
That's cool. So basically it allows you to write your own applications and then just use the services.
Correct. So essentially the application on behalf of the user goes and accesses their email, their files, their calendars.
Cool.
You can imagine like an application that helps you do scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it might just be a regular website that you've traditionally hosted, but now you can additionally consume these services from Office.
Cool. So what kind of platforms?
So any, you know, any platform is supported. It is OData and OAuth, so
okay,
it's an open platform. For the tooling that we have done in Visual Studio, it is for web projects, so MVC web projects,
okay,
and also for Windows 8, 8.1 apps, native apps.
Cool, very cool. So are you going to show us quickly?
Absolutely.
All right, want to dig in?
All right, cool. So what I've got here is actually... an existing application, an expense application. This is a Windows 8 app.
Okay.
And you can see it running in the simulator, and you know, I can go and click around and go to some charges, see some charges that have been made. You can see a description, you know, category, all that good stuff. And this is an existing application. You know, the thing that we're going to do here is actually go and add Office-ness to it.
Okay.
So
it is not a
technical term. So I've added a couple of placeholder buttons here just for purposes of keeping it a little bit simpler.
Okay.
But at the moment, they do nothing.
Okay.
Until, you know, implement me. But you can imagine that you know, I've got all these expenses here, these charges. I might want to be able to go and store them in my calendar so
right,
that I can actually have a nice record just going and seeing in the timeline where have I done my spending. Similarly, at the moment, this application, maybe you would be saving to a regular, to a file or somehow storing this data, but it'd be nice to be able to actually store it straight in the cloud so you have it with all of your other expenses. You don't have to go and transfer it manually,
yeah,
from,
sure,
your desktop.
That makes sense.
And so forth. And so, what I'd like to demo is actually how do we go about and implement, these two functions, which at the moment just tell me to implement them.
Okay.
Ready to look at the code?
So if I wanted to really just get started with this, I would first be in Office 365 developer,
yes,
site?
Yes.
Okay.
So
yeah,
you would need to go to dev.office.com,
okay,
and there you would sign up for an Office 365 dev tenant.
Okay.
And you can either get a 30-day trial, or you can get a free one through your MSDN subscription.
Okay.
And then you also, from the tooling, and you need to have Visual Studio 2013.
Okay.
And the tool that we have produced, it's a small add-in into Visual Studio. So on the Visual Studio gallery,
okay, so V6.
You would go, yep, it's a V6, you download it, and it adds our functionality to Visual Studio.
Okay, cool.
So here on this computer, I've already installed the add-in, and so when I go to activate our functionality, I just go to add connected service.
Okay.
And this is, there are some other services here. You can see Windows Azure Mobile Services, Microsoft Ads, for the Windows 8 app. But then what our V6 adds is just this node right here for Office 365. And so the first thing I need to do is sign in with that developer tenant, as you said. And so I'll sign in, and what this does is it queries my tenant and checks what are some of the possible services that are exposed through it. And you can see that Active Directory graph, if I wanted to go and look at my directory information, my profile, other people in my directory, Exchange, which gives me all of the mail and calendar and contacts, and SharePoint, to give me access to any of the SharePoint artifacts, and in particular to my files. So let's actually go ahead and add Exchange first. And so all I have to do really is just Exchange and click OK. And in a moment here, a dialog will pop up asking for what permissions I want to configure.
Okay.
So these permissions are what users, end users of my application will see. Because we want to make sure that it's a secure app model.
Okay.
And so we're not going to have, when you're using the app, you need to give permission to my app to act on your behalf to go and add stuff to your calendar.
It's kind of like a phone app.
It
warns you this app needs location services or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And so the developer declares what permissions the app will need. The end user, when they run the app, will actually see is it okay or not. Exactly.
I got it.
And so for purposes of this application, we wanted to be able to write to the calendar. So I'm just going to select the have full access to the user's calendar. Click OK. And this will spin up and do quite a few things, actually. What we're doing is we're setting up the project with some references. So the ones that got added right now are these two right here. The first one, the Active Directory, this is a NuGet package that will help us with all of the authentication stuff.
Okay.
Because the APIs, they use OAuth. And so the Active Directory library takes care of a lot of that work.
Okay.
The other one is NewtonSoft JSON library. So this is JSON.NET, a very, very popular library.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, these services are REST-based. And so you're bound to be passing a lot of data, JSON data, back
right.
and forth. So this helps just serialize, deserialize. It's a really, really useful library.
Cool.
And so we just go ahead and add that to the project. The other thing we added is we actually added this Office 365 folder, and it's got two classes here, a helper class and the service info. The two really work in unison, and the idea is that we wanted to abstract all of the kind of difficult and, to some extent, mundane code.
Okay.
The code that actually does the auth dance, that goes and checks that you have the access token. It does some of the error handling that's specific to each service. And so these two classes encapsulate that and allow you to focus on your business logic.
Okay.
And also, it also helps with our, for developers who want to target both the web application mm-hmm. and the Windows 8 native application, we actually are able to abstract a lot of the differences out into those classes.
That's
so
cool.
The user code is
regardless
actually
of
simple.
Whether you're talking from a client or from a server.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
And so then, the final piece that we added is we will add actual sample pages that are, of
just
course,
kind of get you started.
Exactly. Yep, and they're specific. So for an MVC application, be a view and a controller. Here it's a XAML page.
Okay.
And so that's the code we output. And really, these are the files that we really expect users to
change.
Go and change and have fun with. You'll learn from the patterns we've added there. Go ahead and tweak the queries a little bit, see what they can do, and then ultimately probably toss away these files.
Right, okay.
These ones, on the other hand, they're really meant to be more permanent because we really think they will help the developer a lot. So I added Exchange. Let me actually, before we forget, let's just go ahead and add the SharePoint one as well.
Okay.
And that way we can jump straight into coding. The cool thing about our tooling, though, is you can come back here, back into our tool, and you can, for example, I could come here, click configure, and see the same permission dialog as I'd seen before. So I can go and change those. I can also add new services. And so at any point during my application lifecycle, if I wanted to go and say, okay, well, Exchange was kind of cool, but now I want to add SharePoint, I could actually go ahead and do that.
So if you, like, remove Exchange, will it remove those files?
No.
Okay.
We don't want to do that.
Okay,
no.
I was going to say.
Might be some useful files. Now.
Yeah.
So this is a one-way street in terms of adding.
Got it.
But in terms of managing permissions, this all this does is actually just configures the cloud.
Okay.
And so we can add, you know, we can change those application registrations, no problem.
Okay.
So when I click SharePoint, you'll see a very similar experience. The permissions, of course, are different. But I'll go ahead and say that I want to edit or delete items in the site collection. That way we're able to go and, you know, and upload files to the to SharePoint.
Cool.
So, you want to see those samples run, right?
We better start pushing some
items. Cool. So with a web application, I could probably just hit F5 and then type in the name of the controller.
True, right.
This is actually here I have to hook it up a little bit just to actually navigate to the pages.
Yeah.
So, fortunately, though, let me close these two sample pages. But here on the main page, I actually had another set of buttons that I can implement. So, let me delete this one, and then for the first button, I'll navigate to the Exchange page. For the second one, I'll navigate to SharePoint. You know, that's just completely standard navigation routine. And then I'll launch the simulator. Let's see what happens. And what this is doing is actually, I should say that all of the cloud registration piece, that already happened before while the service manager was running. So this is just the build stuff.
Oh, okay.
We have, one thing I forgot to mention that actually is probably worth pointing out is one final thing, you know, in addition to the files and references that got added, we also, in app.xaml, there's a client ID that got added. This is what associates my particular app to the entry in Azure Active Directory.
Okay.
And so that's where all the permissions get stored and so forth. So back to my app. Over here I've got my two task buttons. And so let's go ahead and you'll see one of them. And just in case, I'll actually sign out because just to have a very clean machine.
Okay.
And for this case, I'd only given permissions for calendar, but we've outputted the code for all three, partially so you can see what is it like if you want to add, you know, the permissions later. But for now, calendar is what we really want. And so you will see that a dialog pops up. It asks me for, you know, what username and tenant do I want to register with? And this doesn't have to be the same tenant. You could actually go and publish the app such that other people from other organizations consume it.
Right, okay.
But for now, I'll just go ahead and use the same one.
And when you publish it, you specify the tenant again at that point?
So,
because you're developing against a developer site. Right?
Correct, yeah. Okay. So when you publish, you would probably need to re-register your app, change that app ID where I showed in the app.xaml.
Right, okay.
And then, you know, for a web project, it would be webconfig. So same sort of thing.
The client ID.
Yeah. So let me log in here, and I'll actually go ahead and say, keep me signed in. This, you know, sends off the information to Active Directory.
Well,
importantly, it actually asks for permissions. So those are the exact same permissions I specified before they were in the developer's language. You know, allow to specify on the user's behalf. Now it's actually, you know, this application will have full access to your calendars and will edit or delete items in your site collections. So I'll go ahead and approve those permissions. And what you will see is indeed, what happens during this flow is we go and call the Exchange API.
Mm-hmm.
The OAuth dance happens, you know, the consent was all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we finally get the result, deserialize it with JSON.net.
So that's your calendar.
And this is my calendar, exactly.
You have a lot of meetings with an editor.
I do. I need some meetings.
He likes to talk, I guess.
The other one is SharePoint, right? And so I can come back here. And notice that this time it actually does not prompt me for permissions.
So this is like your documents folder, then?
Yeah, so this is my shared with everyone folder.
Okay.
It could be pointed to any other one as well. But
cool.
We figured this is the default one that everyone has.
Right.
And so as a sample, it makes for a nice, good one. And it also shows how you can go and, you know, query author information, you know, just query the different fields, display them all here. And notice how it didn't actually ask me for my for consent,
right.
Because it already has done it once. You know, it's all part of the same Office 365 family. So I've consented once to the app, you know, to get Exchange and SharePoint. So it only happens once.
That's very cool.
So this was sample code. That's all you wanted, right?
No, I want to see some real man. What can we really do?
All right, what can we really do? Sounds good. So before we really do stuff, it might actually be worthwhile to take a look at maybe one of the sample files, just to see
what's the
like? User code, exactly. So let me scroll down here to the part that is, I seem to be fighting the scrolling a little bit. So here I am in, let me minimize this one. So this, for example, here's a function that goes and gets the calendar events. And it's, you know, it's not a terribly long function. It's just over one screen's worth. But essentially, for any of these services, you've got a set of steps that you need to do. First thing, you just need to go and obtain information for the service. So this is the API endpoint, the resource ID. This actually also gets the access token. There's some technical stuff that happens in the background, but ultimately, you need an object to go and encapsulate the fact that, you know, this is a service you can talk to. And you can see we're using the service info,
right.
One of those helper classes, to go and get Exchange service info. You know, right here, there would also be the get SharePoint info. You get
so this just, this just performs the authorization?
This gets a setup to be able to perform. And actually, it gets an access token for you.
Okay.
The next part we do is we actually need to go and do something with that service. So here we define what is the URL, you know, what is the query we want to perform.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I want to go and look at events that end later than right now. I want to, you know, get the top 10. I want to select just a subject, the start, and the end date. And then you know, these are events, and so the API endpoint gets substituted into here, but then I want my calendar and the
is that OData?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
This
so
is OData,
this is
and on dev.office.
Yep.
And on dev.office.com, we've got all the documentation that defines, you know, what are the fields you could request. You could also sniff it with Fiddler.
Okay.
So, but basically, we've gotten the service info. We've defined what it is that we want to send. Then we actually need to go and create the request, and you'll see that this is a, you know, we'll be creating a GET request for a particular URL. This is actually defined as a lambda, which is kind of an interesting, maybe slightly unusual thing. The reason we do this is that we then use our helper class to go and send the request, and to actually retry in case the access token has expired, for instance. It will retry, and so this is created as a lambda, you know, that takes this request URL stuff we've created before, you know, slaps the accept header with JSON on it, and then now request is prepared. We send it off with a helper method, as I said before, and then we need to actually do something with the response. So we read the response string. If it's not successful, we've actually got, you know, part of the helper actually goes and extracts the user readable error, so we can display something useful to the to the error. To the user, and then
about the error,
and then otherwise we go and actually do something useful like deserializing the data and displaying it.
Cool.
And so in this J object, this is part of the
Newtonsoft
JSON.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
And really, all of the rest of the SharePoint, the mail, calendar, it all follows pretty much the exact same pattern. And so that's sort of the pattern we'll be creating in a moment. I just wanted to give you an overview of.
So as long as you know OData, how to query over OData,
yep.
And some JSON parsing, seems like pretty easy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep, and all of the auth stuff and kind of the tricky parts that the caching of the access tokens and the fresh tokens, they're all contained in that library. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And you can actually, I mean, you can go and tweak those files. You know, it's not a DLL. It's something that is your code. And for instance, if you wanted to tweak the error handling, go and write stuff to the database, go to, you know, write to a
log.
We've got a couple of to-do, you know, stuffs there,
yes.
You know, the thing that if you want, you know, go ahead and expand it. But really, unless you're doing some reasonably advanced scenario, you should be able to just go and write the user code that that you really want
cool.
along those libraries. So back on the charges page. So
what are we going to do? We're going to write stuff.
We're going to write stuff to the calendar.
Calendar?
Yep, and we're also going to write stuff
to
files. Yep.
Okay, let's
do to OneDrive for business. Yep.
Cool.
And so let's start with the calendar. And as I said, the pattern, you know, we're going to follow it essentially very much in the same way. So the first thing I wanted to do is obtain the info for communicating with my service. And let me go ahead and import these. So control dot, import those helper files. And so, as you can see, it's, you know, get exchange service info.
Great.
The next part was actually going and creating.
I noticed,
URL.
By the way, they're all asynchronous. That's why you're
yes.
seeing the
yep.
await pattern
yep.
there. Okay,
yep.
That's cool.
And this is what allows, for example, the, you know, the dialogue that popped up
mm-hmm.
with the user interaction. You know, we need to wait for that to complete before the code can keep running.
Exactly.
So the next part we wanted was to be able to prepare the data for sending, right? And so in this case, what do I need to do that? Well, first of all, I do need an object to define a calendar event. And on dev.office.com in the documentation, it actually talks about what are these objects
mm-hmm.
that you're supposed to be sending back and forth. And you can, I can go ahead and define them right here.
Oh, so cool. So it's just a JSON object you're creating?
Well, and the cool part, yes, ultimately you're sending
JSON.
JSON,
right?
Actually, what it can do, though, is write it as a regular C# class.
Okay, and it's serializing.
And it understands with the Newtonsoft JSON library. It understands that, you know, subject would actually be transformed into a lowercase s subject in the JSON file. For some things like entity type, which is not exactly what it's called in JSON, you can actually put this JSON property on top of it. But essentially, you can implement as many or as little of these as you want. In my case, I'll be using, you know, just the subject, the start, and end, and location. There's obviously more fields, so you can
cool.
use
like
the ones you need.
Object.
Exactly.
Is,
yep.
Yeah.
So we've created that one. So we're good there. Realistically, you know, I'd probably put it in a different file, but
right.
for now we can just put it here in the region. The other part is that, and I could have
instantiated, right?
I need to instantiate it with the stuff that's actually
right.
With the data that's on the screen. So I'll go ahead and create a separate function for it. And just to keep this business logic simple in case I ever want to change this part of it. And but essentially I just return a new calendar event, which was the exact, you know, this data structure that
mm-hmm.
I defined. And, you know, for the subject I'm going to set the charge, build amount, and, you know, the merchant and description. The start date is the date of which this was created, same with the end date, the location. So it's essentially, I'm just
filling
out. So
the API totally, it defines a bunch of these entity types and
yes,
that you
yep.
can do with the service. So
yeah.
you just need to figure out, you know,
and on dev.office.com, or also, you know, another great trick is actually use our sample pages to go and see what data is returned to you.
Okay.
You know, maybe remove that select statement that I had so that it actually returns absolutely everything. And then see what the objects are, either through the debugger or on Fiddler, really whatever's your preferred method of inspecting the data that comes over the wire. So back to the function here, we've created the service info. We now have defined what data we want to send. So now we actually need to do the sending part. And so I create the HTTP client, and here's my Lambda for the request. You can see it's similar to what it was before, but now it's a post rather than a get. I'm still calling the same request URL here. Also, I go and take this calendar event object and serialize it with JSON converter. So that's again the JSON.NET. I send it with, you know, as JSON O data. Same with the
JSON Lite minimal metadata.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
And so this will dispatch my request once they dispatch it. And so the final step is, wrong one. This one.
There you go.
So now I'm going to use our helper library to go and send that request. You know, again, this takes care of some of the off stuff you need to do in terms of renewing the access token if it's expired.
Okay.
Going in and setting the client ID. So it takes care of that, and then I just read the response, In this case, you know, I figure that all I really want to say is that, hey, yeah, we've added the calendar, done. And of course, if it failed, I'm going to go ahead and show the error message, which will extract the human readable portion of the JSON.
Okay.
And really, that should be it for calendar.
Seems pretty easy, actually.
Yep. And then for the other one, you know, for export, I'm actually going to go ahead and implement it all in one chunk, but we can go and
walk through the code,
exactly. So this is this one right here.
I'm assuming similar pattern here.
Yep, absolutely. So first thing, I want to obtain the service info. This time it's not Exchange, it's the SharePoint OneDrive service info.
Okay.
Then I create the request, and so that's this section right here. You can see that, again, you know, ultimately creating a request URL. This time, let me just scroll down right here. You know, when I, in the actual request, I say that, okay, it's still a post to that request URL. The content is actually the file contents that I wanted to send. You know, it's going to be OData verbose for this particular case. And then having, you know, so I created the request, I prepared the request, I send it here with a send request async helper method, and then very much the same thing. I'm going to read all the string. I'm going to you know, see that if it was successful, I'm going to display a message. Otherwise, I'm going to show an error. And you know, for certain, like for the get parameters, for the get calls, this is where I was doing the deserialization.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I don't really need
right.
to, because all I need to know is just, you know, it's saved to my calendar.
Right.
Cool. So, you ready to run this?
Yeah.
See if it works?
All right. Works.
So actually, just to show you that this is a true honest-to-God demo, I have got I've got my calendar pulled up.
Okay.
And also I've got OneDrive for business, my expenses folder. You can see, there we go. I'll even refresh it for you. so you can see that, you know, there's no files. And similar here, I've got all of my, you know, meetings with my manager and whatever, but I actually don't have some of the expenses that you'll be... Well, actually, I've got a stray one. Oh, no. So let me go ahead and edit this one and delete. I thought I got rid of it, but that's why I want to make sure that you keep me honest. Actually, it looks like I've got this one in here as well. So I'm going to edit it. Now we're in a good clean state. And yeah, here in January, all's good.
Okay.
So I don't know. Let's run the app. See what happens. So Visual Studio, I run the simulator. And again, what this will do is just, this is only a build step. We're not uploading anything to the cloud at this stage.
So this is all client-side. The code you wrote is all client-side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep.
That makes sense.
All right, so I've got my expenses. I'm going to go to my charges. Let's do this January one. So January 14th, my $200 charge. Oh, my, oh, my, in Northwind Inn.
Well, Northwind Inn is expensive.
I know. So, copy to calendar. Let's do calendar first. I click this, and you can see the UI pops up. I'd already... Right, and so you can see, again, it asks for my consent. But because
it didn't ask me to log in again.
Exactly, yeah, because I'd already said, keep me signed in, and so that does it for the machine.
Cool.
Yeah, success. So, Tuesday, January 14th. So let's see if... meanwhile, in another land, let's take a look at... Let's take a look at my... Oh, and actually...
there it popped up.
Yep, it popped up. It's a whole 2 months overdue. And you can see it right here for January 14th. There was a Northwind event with a reference number and all that good stuff. And similarly, you know, I can come back here. Maybe let's add just one more just for fun. In fact, I wonder if we can... Maybe I'll move this here... And so let me move this one here actually to the side just so we can see. So this is going to be a February 8th one. So let me actually switch to February just so we can see. Nothing here.
Right.
Nothing yet. And I go to my, let's see, Alt-Tab, back to my simulator. So January 8th, and I want, I guess I can't quite do that. Fine. I'll just minimize it in a second. So I come here, copy to calendar. This spins up. This time it already had the access token, so it didn't need to prompt for any consent
right.
UI or anything. Everything was ready. It says that success, it's been added. Come here.
Hey.
And actually, there you go. It just popped up. And also, you can see over here, I've got the $40 charge.
Nice.
So similarly, I can go and do the same thing for OneDrive. So
save to OneDrive.
What this does, OneDrive is actually kind of interesting because every person has their own, or every organization has its own tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for this application to be able to run against any tenant, we actually make use of the discovery service that Office released with this.
Oh.
And so underneath the covers, in that helper class, what actually happens is we go and discover, based on your username, what is your tenant, get the API endpoint or resource, then make the call to SharePoint, get the actual access token that we need. All of this happens completely behind the scenes.
That's cool. So you don't have to worry about it.
Yep. And then, so this added to OneDrive, and then, I had a breakpoint here. Well, that was exciting. but now I can come here to my Internet Explorer. This is empty. Oh, no. But actually, I can just go ahead and refresh the page, and you'll see
there
that there's my document. In fact, if I click on it, you see, it is a true document here. And of course,
in
real world, I would do OpenXML or something to go and make this content a little bit more interesting. But you can see it is a document. It got created with content the same time we sent over the wire.
That's pretty cool.
And so, so that's the
Office.
And
if you had a file already, you could just send like a binary stream as a .x
absolutely.
File or whatever it is. Okay, sweet.
It's really, you can actually, with SharePoint, you've already got the REST endpoints, starting with SharePoint 2013. So it's really just building on top of this.
Okay.
Same with Exchange. You used to be able to do some amount of, you used to be able to go and program against Exchange, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it's all unified under one family, a single consent experience, a single, single similar coding pattern for all of these.
Well, everything's users already, this is their dashboard.
Exactly.
Right? So
the users
it
already
makes sense
are
that
in Office 365.
Something for the developer to get at all of that, too, in an easy way. So that's really awesome.
It's all part of a single family. It's all REST and OData and OAuth.
Cool.
Goodness.
This would be great. So you got the APIs implemented for ASP.NET, MPC apps, and Windows 8 store apps.
Yep, that's correct.
Cool.
And you don't, you can either start with new projects or you can start with existing projects. I think really the cool part is that you can, the cool part is that you can go ahead and actually start with something that you've already worked on.
Mm-hmm.
You might have an existing website or an existing app and you just want to add, one small bit of functionality, like maybe you want to send email on behalf of a user.
Right.
And then you do that, and you're like, oh, well, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So then, well, the user also has a calendar. I want to implement that. And, the user also has SharePoint. And so you can very organically grow this into an existing application. But if you wanted to start from scratch, just play around with it, you can go and create a new MVC project and then do the exact same gesture as we have here of right-click on the project, add, and then do the connected service. Great out
you're
right now because
mode,
I'm
right.
in debug mode.
Gotcha.
And it's all you need to do is just have the Visual Studio, install the V6,
and then
you'll be good to go.
And then it has the for you, and all the projects.
Well,
it's just the tooling. Right?
Yeah, that's just the tooling.
Okay, so
the libraries are all new
libraries
gets.
The libraries are new
gets. Yep.
Okay, got it. Cool.
Yep, or the libraries are the Active Directory one and the Newton.soft.json, and then the helper classes we just add as part of the tool.
Okay, gotcha.
As example code.
That's cool. I really like it. So this is in preview, mentioned right now, so you're probably wanting some feedback.
Absolutely.
On this, right? So,
now, we would love to see what people do with this.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also love to see if they want, what else are they looking for? How
mm-hmm.
are they finding the sample code? Definitely that's something that we would love to have feedback on. How useful is it? Obviously, when we were building this up, we actually were trying it on a couple of real-world apps, really trying to get the scenarios down, but definitely give us feedback on that.
Cool. Well, I'll stick a link to the tool, and are you collecting feedback right in the Q&A section?
If you have any questions, Q&A section is probably the quickest way to reach us.
Cool.
I
know you're on top of that.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
And then there's also right as we release the tool, we put out a blog post talking about, talking the walkthrough, and then there's going to be also part two of that, going ahead and expanding more on what we saw today of, how do you actually go ahead and go from the sample code to actually writing your own code.
Cool.
So that's going to be
hopefully I get this video edited and released, right when that happens. So, so I really appreciate it, Mikhail. This is really cool stuff for me. Obviously, I have a passion for Office development myself, so I'm going to have to try it out, I think.
And I think, I mean, I've I come from being a VSTO developer, and I think the paradigm shift here is that in the past you would have applications that are tied to a particular client. Mm-hmm. Like your VSTO
right.
add-in runs inside of VSTO.
You're automating
exactly.
Office
and it's a fantastic
right.
thing. Like right. I love it.
Right.
But the thing here is that this is more about decoupling the actual data that lives in the cloud,
right.
in this case, from the application. So you can, you know, it doesn't have to be a particular application type. It's not an app for Office. It's not an app for SharePoint. It's not an add-in.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually something that you go and you use your existing application, and then you just call into these rich services through REST and OData.
Just like you use services in your apps today.
Exactly.
So
it's just another
yeah,
service. Exactly.
It's just another service.
And, yeah. and of course, and the other, I mean, the apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, VSTO, all of those continue to be very viable ways.
Right.
If you want to be in the... Like if you want your application
to use
to live,
Office as the UI itself,
exactly.
right? That's
if you want to plug into the actual, you know, authoring experience that the user has, that is absolutely the place for that.
Right.
This is more about you have your existing applications. You want to consume a service. You want to consume Office just like it were any other service.
Gotcha. Then that's really cool.
I
love it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you.